For this evening's sermon, we will meditate on several of the verses from the gospel reading. I begin with rereading a portion of verse 27 from Luke 22. But I am among you as the one who serves. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our salvation. Amen. We have been thinking about Jesus as the Lamb of God, which Scripture teaches over and over again, both in prophecies and then also the New Testament showing how he has fulfilled them. And up to this point, we have been reflecting on Old Testament passages of talking about God's sacrifices system that he gave to the Israelites. We spent time in Isaiah chapters 52 and 53. And this evening and tomorrow, we hear the narrative of Jesus doing it, fulfilling these promises of God, these prophecies. And what we see in this text, from this narrative in Luke and the other gospel narratives as well, is that Jesus willed to be the Savior. His will was aligned up with his Father's will. And we'll think about that a little bit tonight. This, of course, was different than sinful humans who always say, "My will be done." And so, thus, the disciples that night were arguing who was going to be in charge, who was the greatest. And Jesus said, "You're thinking all wrong." Yes, the Gentiles, those who are not God's people, they think like this. The world thinks like this. But he said, "Not so with you." And he points out that among you, the one who leads is a servant. And then he says a statement there, in verse 27, that is remarkable for how much teaching and promise it packs into a simple sentence. He said in verse 27, "But I am among you as the one who serves." That "I am" statement lines up with other places where Jesus says, "I am," calling himself God's name. He is God. When Moses said at the burning bush, "Who should I tell the people has sent me?" God said, "Tell them that I am has sent you." And so we know this is the name of God. And several times, especially in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the door. I am the light. I am the good shepherd." And he was linking himself and calling himself that name, "I am," and here too. "But I am," and then he says, "among you." That is, God is among his people, among his disciples. He's not far away from them. He's with them. "But I am among you as the one who serves." And right here, this outlines everything he's going to do. He's doing all this to serve God's people, to bring salvation. Jesus is worried about Peter, for Peter is thinking he is strong enough. He can withstand and defend Jesus or say the truth about Jesus. But Jesus is worried about Peter and says, "Peter, I've prayed for you that Satan may not sift you like wheat, that you actually may endure and be saved. I've prayed for you. When you repent, when you turn again, strengthen your brothers." No, Jesus, I'm ready to go to jail for you. I'm ready to die for you. No, you will deny 3 times before the rooster crows. With that, we see that Peter may have said and thought he was ready to die for Jesus. But the fact is, that's not what was necessary. What was necessary was that Jesus would die for Peter. He would serve Peter. Jesus was always looking to fulfill the scriptures. He said to his disciples, "For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me." And he was numbered with the transgressors, for what is written about me has its fulfillment. And they said to him, "Look, Lord, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." We noted this 2 weeks ago, that Jesus frequently referred to the prophecies in Isaiah and said, "They refer to me, I'm going to fulfill them." And he says that here too. And interestingly, this one is partially fulfilled by them having two swords. What we see in this narrative is that they ask later on, when he's being arrested, should we strike with a sword? But think of it. God's will was for him to be arrested. But the prophecy was that they would be with the transgressors, with those who sinned and have iniquities. And that self-serving defense, not doing God's will in this case, but against God's will, against the prophecy, was to be with the transgressors. And again, Jesus was with the transgressors, not only his weak and denying and afraid disciples, but later on, among the soldiers and among Pilate and Herod, who thought little of him, who thought Jesus is a transgressor, not me, but Jesus is counted among them, and then he's nailed next to two thieves. Everything he did was to serve and to fulfill God's word and the promises. Jesus, as a servant of the Lord, as a Lamb of God, knew what his calling was to be and to do. He was to die on the cross. That's what John said. When Jesus first started his ministry early on, 3 years before this, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That is going to have to be done by a sacrifice death. And all during those 3 years of his ministry, Jesus took that upon him. And in the garden then, he prays, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." Whatever this costs, whatever it takes, he would align with the Father's will. This was God's work to save people. In Peter's denial of Jesus, there's something going on that we should take note very carefully. Jesus, in the beginning of this reading and other places, called himself "I am." He is the Lord. And so when Peter denied Jesus, knowing, "I don't know him, I don't know nothing about him," and in the Gospel of Mark, it very clearly says at this point, Peter calls down curses and swears. He cursed and swore that he did not know the Lord. He does not know "I am." Let's just clear out sin against the first commandment. He blasphemed Jesus. "I don't know him. He has done nothing for me. He is nothing." Against the great "I am." And we see then that this betrayal and denial of by Peter, betrayal by Judas and denial by Peter, is not like one human betraying another or denying another, but it is a human saying, "God, you are nothing to me." It is a great sin. As Jesus is mocked, they're mocking him and they beat him, they blindfold him and prophesy, "Who struck you?" Verse 65, it says, "And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him." Luke says you can only blaspheme God. And God, Luke is saying this is God, and look what they were doing to God, the Son of God. They were blaspheming him. But he did this willingly. He did not stop them. In front of the assembly of the elders at the end of this reading, they ask Jesus, if you are the Christ, tell us. And Jesus knows their heart and their attitude. He knows what they're thinking. He knows their approach because he has done miracles right in front of them for 3 years. And they didn't believe. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead, and they wanted to kill Lazarus as well as him. And he says to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you what you've seen, who would do this, you will not answer me. They are hardened and set in their ways. But Jesus says, but from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. Jesus knows that going through this rejection and suffering is not defeat, but is to follow the will of God. And following the will of God is never defeat. Following the will of God is to be in God's path and way, and as the Lamb of God, to bring salvation. To be on the cross, as he said, is to be lifted up and to be exalted. They asked him then, so are you the Son of God then? And he said to them, you say that I am. And again, I am is spoken by Jesus. You're even saying, I am. Jesus' will to carry out the Father's plan of salvation, founded and known by God before the foundation of the world, should make it perfectly clear to we Christians who look to Jesus that there is nothing that stops Jesus from forgiving sins and from giving salvation to his people. All this along the way that we read in this narrative from Luke and in the other Gospels tried to stop Jesus from the pain and torture, from the being abandoned by his disciples, from being mocked by the chief priests, by Herod, and being on the cross. All tried to stop Jesus. But what did Jesus say? What was he aiming to do on the cross? Remember the first word from the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. His goal was to even forgive those who betrayed him, denied him, mocked him, tortured him. To forgive. And so in our own lives, and as we think about his suffering and death tonight and tomorrow, it is God's will that the Lamb would die, and the Lamb did it willingly, and nothing can stop God from saving. And he calls us to look to him and to listen to him. The salvation Jesus gives, the victory that Jesus gives, is so different than what the world can do on its own power, so different than what you or I might do by our own thinking or power. And it's really good for us every year to go through these narratives in Holy Week and to think about what Jesus has done for us, because he does it and he has done it. And we can count and depend upon him. He has gone to the cross willingly because he loved you and me and wants to save us. He prayed for Peter that he would not be sifted like wheat. So also Hebrews says he intercedes for us. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, Thank you for wanting to save us, willing to go through the suffering and death. Help us to have faith in you. Help us to draw forgiveness, receive your forgiveness, and also live in it. Bless our times this evening and the rest of this Holy Week. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.